Welcome to the She Connects podcast. My name is Susan VandenHeuvel, and I am honored to be your host each and every week. This is an extension of my ministry, She Rises, that allows me to connect with women in the online space. You can learn more about me and my ministry at www.sherisesmn.org or simply tap the link in the show notes. But for now, let's dive into this week's episode. Well, hey, ladies, welcome back to the show. You are going to love this conversation, and it's really such an honor to have two guests on the show this week. And as you probably saw in this week's title of the episode, our names are the same. And it's not a coincidence. I actually have the honor of having family on the show this week. This is Tim's brother, Tom, and his lovely wife, Jill. And so they're going to share a little bit of their story. We're going to get into a little bit of just some things that they've gone through over the past couple of years. But just know that what they share today is just really a little bit about what they're going to be sharing in greater length at the upcoming She Rises Women's Conference in May. And you can find all of the details about that by simply clicking the link in the show notes. That'll take you to the website. From there, you can click on the 2024 events tab, and all of the details, all the things you need to know are right there on that page. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Tom and Jill. Tell us a little bit about yourselves and where you're joining us from.
Yeah, so I'm Tom. You hopefully can tell in the different voices who's Tom and who's Jill. And we've been married for almost 34 years. I think we have actually our anniversary 2 years after you and Tim this year. Two months. After you and Tim this year. So same amount of years, I think. And we have five adult children and five grandkids. So I'll let Jill share a little bit.
Yeah, we're here in southern Minnesota. And like Tom said, we have been together quite a while. We've had a journey, but yeah, enjoy our family a lot. And that includes our extended family with Susan and Tim and all the siblings. And we're looking forward to sharing our story. So thanks for having us, Susan.
Yeah, it's going to be good. All right. So telling your story, I want to start with asking you if you've always been a follower of Jesus Christ and what has changed when you became a follower of Jesus. How did your life change?
Well, I have been a follower as far back as I can remember. I remember asking Jesus into my heart when I was 8 years old. Then life happened. And of course, I strayed a little bit from God. And he sought me out. He pulled me back. And I've rededicated my life. And actually, Tom and I just got rebaptized. Or I got baptized about two months ago. Yeah. So that was exciting. And so how has that changed our life? Well, my life, once I rededicated, it's been amazing. And I can't imagine doing life without him.
So my story, I have not always been a follower of Jesus. I was baptized as an infant, and I was brought to Sunday school when I was very, very little. But as far back as I can remember, the earliest age of maybe 5 or 6 until I was about 27, I was not a follower. And, you know, I always had a preconception about the church and you had to dress nice and you had to do this and you had to do that. And so it was a little intimidating because I was not involved in that when I was younger or teens. So I became a follower in the late 90s, 97 or 98. I don't have a specific time. I just know Jill and I started going back to church and I had asked Jesus into my heart. And so I've been a follower now for 27 or 28 years. And the last 2 or 3 years, I think I've learned more and gotten closer than I did in the first 24 or 25, just with the things we've been through. So, and I, like I say, I was baptized as an infant and I always felt this calling to get baptized as an adult. And so we finally, at the age of 52, Jill rededicated herself and got baptized again. And then I chose to. So that was pretty exciting to do that. We actually got baptized with one of our grandsons. So that was pretty special.
Oh, which one did you get baptized with? I can't remember.
Ian.
Ian. Okay. Oh, how special. Special for him too, to be baptized with grandma and grandpa. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And so we had their family on stage with us when we got baptized, and then we were there and his dad was able to help baptize him, and Jill and I were able to help baptize each other. So it was pretty special.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. It can't get any better than that. Oh man. Wow. So I think that we would agree that there's a difference between being a believer, a follower, and just word only, and then actually following him, Jesus, as a lifestyle. I'm wondering if you could describe in your own words the difference that you see between those two.
For me, I've always known Jesus. My family went to church. My mom played piano, organ. We were always there. So I always knew him. I knew about the Bible. But until probably the last, 5-ish years, until I really started digging in and getting that personal relationship with Christ and knowing that he was the one and only, that he's all I needed. Until that changed my life for the better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having that security, knowing he is faithful, he will never leave me, he will never fail me. That's having the lifestyle with Jesus, not just knowing who he is.
Yeah. Oh, and I just have to interject. I love that the wording that you use, that personal relationship with him. I think, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I feel like that's the key right there. It's a personal relationship with him. And I know we're going to get into that here in just a few minutes, but I'm so glad that you used that, because I think that that's just so key.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I would say probably for me, you know, between believing and then following and changing your lifestyle, I think was noticeable for me was my priorities changed. You know, for the first part of my life, it was what the world was going after, whether it was wealth or material things or just whatever was worldly. You know, I didn't think that we were bad people or I was a bad person, but, you know, I didn't have that relationship. And then, you know, once I began following him, your priorities change. You start looking eternally at what really matters. And I think for the 25 plus years I've been a follower and a believer, you progressively have gotten deeper and closer. And like Jill said, in the relationship. And I would say for me, I'm a little bit slower than she is. She started maybe that deeper journey 5 years ago. For me, it was probably 2 to 3. And, you know, and now you kind of wish you would have, you know, why didn't we go that deep earlier? But, you know, it's all in his time and for his purpose and for his glory. And so I'm just thankful we're where we're at.
Yeah. So I just am wondering, going off of some of what you shared about just some of the things in the world and wealth and, you know, the other things that you shared, that the world, I think the world says and wants us to believe that that's going to bring fulfillment, and it's going to give us so much peace and all of these types of things that we all want. I mean, it's within our nature to want those things, and wanting to be a person at peace and having a sense of fulfillment and purpose. They're not bad. God, you know, put that desire in us. But I think that, and I'm curious, if you would agree, or what your thoughts are, even though he placed them in us, he wants us to find those in him, not in things on this side of heaven. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I think the big thing for me is, if you'd have asked me in my 20s, if I would have given up everything as I was going after that, you know, I might have been like the guy in the Bible that kind of frowned and walked away. But as you start this relationship, you realize none of that stuff really matters. And so it kind of puts it in perspective, like, you know, if I have a nice car, if I don't, it doesn't matter. If I live in a nice house or I don't, it doesn't matter. And so I think that's the biggest thing for me, was coming to the realization of those things are going to waste away and rust. And, you know, it's coming to that realization of they're just things that we're not we're not going to take with us. So it really doesn't matter. And it kind of, it gave me a sense of peace where I didn't really care what other people thought. You know, everybody's so worried about what other people are thinking about them. And I got to the point where it's like, you know, that doesn't matter, because it's really kind of frivolous that we think that way. So
good stuff. Like I said at the beginning of our time together, you'll be sharing more of your story at this year's She Rises conference, but briefly share with those listening a little of your testimony of victory over the past 2 years.
I think, Tom, did you want to share that verse first? Or?
Sure, I will. You know, just to kind of maybe give the audience a little taste of what happened is we got thrown into a valley, and I don't know if it's thrown, walked, I don't know. It happened. And and so we ended up in this valley, and, you know, and it wasn't just me. I thought it was just me in the valley, but it really affected so many people around me. It affected Jill more than I realized. It affected our children. It affected my small group. It affected people at our church. It affected a lot of close friends. It affected family. But I guess the best way to sum it up was, you know, we were in a valley, and God, you know, took us through that and is walking us out of that. And I just thought of a verse that I had a really good friend, a couple, but the wife, they're friends with us. And she had been praying for me every day. And she's a prayer warrior. And she, I'm going to try to read this, but she read to me Psalm 40, and it was verse 1-3. And it said, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him." And so that's kind of the journey that I went through that, but I feel like to some extent, all those people I mentioned kind of went through a little bit of that in their own way or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Tom, what was that scripture passage again, in case somebody wanted to write it down?
Here, it's Psalm 40, verses 1-3.
Okay. That's good. So full of hope there. That's really good.
So, you know, with those verses, we were in the muck and the mire, and we didn't know when we were going to get out. And so having my friend pray this every single day for us, we had small group people praying for us. We had our church community praying for us. We had friends, we had family. It was amazing. And it got us through. It got us through it. You know, kind of like Moses, where they had to hold his hands up in order to keep things going.
Yeah.
Yeah, we needed that. And our community did that for us. And we are forever grateful.
Yeah, Jill had shared with me when I was seeking treatment for the mental illness I was going through, that, you know, all these prayers, and we had people praying for us. We didn't know a lot of these people. Certainly we knew our friends and our extended family and our family. And, you know, the one lady, the couple we know so well, their entire church, it's a smaller church, but their entire church was praying for us, which was just mind-blowing, because, you know, most of those people probably had no idea who we were other than, you know, their friends. And so, you know, that was something to hang on to when we went through this.
Prayers matter. And, you know, God commands us to pray and to intercede for people. And that's exactly what happened. And we're proof that it works.
Mm. Wow. I love that you pointed out that there were people who were praying that didn't necessarily know you personally. They maybe knew of you and maybe a few details so that they could pray. But I think that just really, really reinforces that we don't necessarily have to know, you know, the play-by-play and all the details. We don't even have to necessarily know them and call them a great friend, you know, like, because we know them intimately. And our prayers are still effective because God knows. And so, man, when I think about the different, you know, your personal family and then your extended family and friends and your church family. And then even apart from that, those individual people who then placed you on their prayer lines and prayer chains at their churches and their Bible. I mean, I just feel like, and I'm just convinced that there were people, groups of people praying that we're not even aware of because it just went so far and wide. Yeah. And I'm so grateful that God has given us the ability to be able to pray and to connect with Him and tap into heaven's resources on behalf of not only ourselves, but other people.
Yes, absolutely.
Exactly. Yep.
Well, I know that your hearts burn for people to encounter Jesus. I think that you're especially concerned for those who have yet to enter into a relationship with Him. We sort of touched on that here just a couple of minutes ago, but tell us a little bit more about that. Why is that something that is such a passion for you?
Well, I think for me, prior to going through what we went through, I wasn't really bold. I didn't go out and didn't feel comfortable sharing the gospel. And, you know, you know, there's people out there that are hurting and that are in need, but they're not at your doorstep. So you don't really know, you know, they're out there, but I wasn't really bold. And as I went through this, I had, if you want to call it, an opportunity to encounter people right in front of me, face to face, that were going through what I may be going through. Maybe it was a little better, maybe it was a little worse. And that just changed my perspective of people, of what's happening out there. I got to see it up front and personal. I think a lot of times we just want to be comfortable and we want to just stay in our little house and you know, and not deal with a lot of things going on in the world. And I think this was a way that God shook me up to say, hey, wait a minute. I have more for you. And so, yeah, for me, that's kind of what happened. I seen it and it's there. And once you experience that, I don't know how somebody wouldn't want to see people get saved.
Tom, what do you mean by get saved?
By accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You know, John 3:16, if anybody has questions, that'll explain it better than I can. But, you know, repenting of your sins and then turning from your sins, and we're still going to sin, but that, you know, our goal is to, once you turn and, you know, once you repent and turn, the goal is to continually grow to be like Christ. And that won't happen in this lifetime. And I'm sure I'm still far from that, but that's the goal every day, is to grow closer and closer to be like Christ. And, you know, someday when we get to heaven, then we will be perfect. Mm-hmm. And so that's the goal.
And what we've been through and seeing how amazing God is, knowing how important it is, why would you not want that for everyone? Why would God wants us all to be healed and free here on earth? Why would we not want that for everyone? And God directs us to be bold and share with others because He wants to fill those rooms in heaven. And, you know, with the world, we don't know when He's coming. So why would we not want to communicate that to that last person? Maybe that is that last person we're waiting to, that God's waiting on before He sends Jesus back for us. So yes, it is our duty to share because we want that joy that only God can give. There's that hole in everyone's heart that only God can fill. And why would we not want that for everyone?
Yeah. Oh man. I can just hear like the passion that you have is really coming through. I mean, it's just so evident. It just oozes out of both of you. Really good. You both use the word boldness in your faith. And so I want to just unpack that just for a minute or two, because I think that so often when people hear the word bold, they kind of can in that definition and think, oh, that means I have to be loud and I have to be in your face and I have to, you know, kind of like that. And so if you had to give just a really brief definition of what boldness as it relates to your faith, how would you describe that?
I think, and I don't know, you know, Jill's going to have a similar answer, but for me, you know, I look back to opportunities that something would pop in my head, you know, like maybe you should talk to that person. Maybe this person needs you to say something, or maybe there was a little opening to share the gospel or just anything, maybe not even the gospel, but just to talk about church or worship or a song or whatever. There was those times and, you know, you play that in your head and you're like, no, I can't do that. I might offend them or whatever. And I think as you dig in with God and you dig in with Jesus, and as you build that relationship, there's that third person of the Holy Spirit. And I think for me, I wasn't a good listener. I am a pretty good talker, but not always a good listener. And so I think for years he would prompt me and I didn't heed his prompting. And I think through this, I've been able to recognize, I mean, I've approached people and said things that, and I was in no mental or physical condition to even think I could do that. But the Holy Spirit prompted me and I was able to give encouragement or share the gospel or what have you through this whole ordeal. So I think for me, it's listening to that prompting and then reacting and acting on it. And I don't always do that. I'm not always perfect. I mean, there's times where I'm like, oh, I missed that one, or I should have, but I think as I'm learning to listen, it's becoming easier and more clear. And so I think, you know, being bold, it's, you know, if you go door to door with your Bible and hit people over the head, you're probably not going to get real good results. But I think, and this is just my opinion, but I think there's so many people out in the world that are looking for the truth, because we're in a time of such lies and deception that I think the harvest is plentiful and it's ready for us to share. And so I just think there's that opportunity now. And it's always probably been there, but for me, you know, sometimes your eyes aren't always open. But now more than ever, I think people want to hear the truth. And I think we have the opportunity to share. And I think more and more people, once they hear it, are like, okay, tell me more. And they may not get saved on the spot, but we're planting those seeds.
So good.
I echo a lot of what Tom says, you know, always getting those promptings and not always listening or following through. And so as he was talking, what I kept hearing God tell me is obedience. He wants us to be obedient and be loving, you know, love as Jesus did. And so I think, you know, the more we are obedient, the more he'll give us, the more opportunities he'll give us. Yeah, hearing him, that was the big thing that stood out to me, is to be obedient when we do get those promptings.
You know, and listening to Jill and talk about opportunities, and I'm sure there may be some that go, opportunities, I got to do this more than once. what are you talking about, opportunities? But, you know, one of the cool things that I kind of think about now more than I used to is I may not see that person saved, but won't it be cool to see that person who wasn't saved, that you maybe fed in just a little seed, and you can high five them in heaven? You know, you made it. That I just, you know, that's going to be so incredible. We'll never know this side of heaven, the impact, but, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing people that, some of it's family. I mean, I've had some people that family that have came to faith in the last few years that, you know, it's like, I want to see you in heaven, you know? So,
yeah. Yeah.
So don't be scared of the opportunities.
Plural. 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 Oh, wow. So good. So I'm thinking about the listener that is just really feeling like, oh man, I feel like I'm in a valley and I am really feeling stretched in my faith right now. I'm struggling, if I admit it, albeit under my breath. I'm struggling to keep hope alive. How would you encourage that person today?
That they're not alone. They, of course, have God with them always, but they also have people around them, whether they know it or not. that are lifting them up and supporting them, and reach out. It's hard to ask. It's hard to be vulnerable and show that you're not okay. But most of us are not okay all the time.
Let's just be honest right here. Yes.
And also know, you know, I'm looking at this journal that I had gotten before our valley occurred. I'm not a journaler, but I did journal for whatever reason through the majority of this, and how looking back, God is so faithful and he continually provides exactly what you need right when you need it. Even though it doesn't always feel good and you don't know when you're going to get out of it, but he's faithful and he loves you so much.
And to follow that up would be tough, but I'll give it a shot. I think, you know, to remember that God hears you, mm-hmm. that can be difficult when you're struggling. And it's okay to shout at him. He knows you're mad, and that's okay. You can let him know that. Don't stay there, but it's okay. You know, keep worshiping, whatever that is. For me, I couldn't concentrate real well during this time, so it was very hard to read. So I had a tough time reading the Bible, but I could listen to it. And there's so many devices we have where you can at least listen and soak it in, and worship music. I mean, you know, if you're struggling and maybe Satan's attacking you, you know, play that worship music. And I'm not a very good singer, and when I'm alone, I'll sing it. And, you know, just those things. And then I think another key part is community, your circle, who's around you. And maybe you're new to the faith and maybe you don't have that circle, but then be seeking that circle. Most Christians, most people will come alongside you and help you. And so don't be bashful about asking, hey, I'm really struggling with this. And people will rally around you, because we all, and I think Jill said this, we're all broken. We're all, you know, there's different levels of valleys or whatever, however you want to say it, but we're all struggling with stuff. And some of it may be harder than other things, but I don't think we share that with people. I think, you know, when I was a perfect example, I'd go to church and people would say, hey, how are you? And I'd be like, great. And I maybe wasn't great that Sunday, you know, and then how, when you leave, the pastor's at the door and how are you? I'm great. And there's so many people, even in the church and the congregations, that are hurting, that we don't know. So you're not alone. There's so many other people.
Yeah, I think that's really important to remind people you're not alone. I think especially when you're in a valley, it can feel so isolating. And, you know, I'm feeling led to ask this question, thinking about perhaps someone who is listening and they themselves aren't necessarily in a valley, but maybe a loved one is, or a good friend or someone close to them, and they're wondering how to be the best support and encouragement to that individual that they love and they care about. So when you think about your time in the valley, what were some of the things that you felt like, man, I feel so supported in that, or in this way, or like, can you help somebody know how to be a really good support and encouragement to somebody else that is in a valley?
Yeah, that's, I'm just processing all this in my head, all the things. Don't stop communicating with those people. They may say, nope, we're good. And even if you're like, we'll pray for you. It was so impactful. Excuse me. When someone would text you a prayer or send a voice message of a prayer or just stopping over, because when you're in the valley, it's so easy to isolate, so easy, because it's hard to go out and face the world when you might break down in tears or have to talk to somebody about it. Just don't stop.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, I was in this valley and I was away at different times getting help. You know, I certainly would pray for my wife or my family. I didn't do some of the things she had said. You know, she had a lot of people supporting her. But for me, one of the things that I guess I could look at it from my situation, I had a lot of people I knew that were praying for me. They would reach out, send me texts. I got a lot of cards when I was, you know, I was a distance away. So I didn't see family for weeks and months. And so, you know, some family members sent me multiple cards and just, hey, we're thinking about you, we're praying. And so I think, yeah, don't be afraid to, and don't think about both sides of that valley, because we were both going through something different. You know, I was going through this mental illness and my wife was trying to, you know, support me, take care of me, but she also had everything else to worry about. She had the rest of life to worry about, whether it was the house, you know, our kids are adults, but, you know, and our grandkids, but they still want to be in the know. And then my siblings and her siblings. And so she had a whole different side of this situation. And it was great that she had a nice support system. Mm-hmm. And so if you know of somebody who's struggling with this, and it maybe is somebody, you know, it's not them, but it's their spouse or a good friend, or certainly be a support to them because they need it too. Mm-hmm. Because it's hard. It's hard for both individuals.
Yeah, I think you make a really good point. I mean, you know, the Bible says when you get married, the two shall become one. And so, yeah, you went through it together because you're a married couple, but there were separate, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you were in this one valley together, but then because you both were experiencing it from different ways, would you say that you each had like a separate valley too?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, my children were in that valley somewhere, confused, you know, not knowing when this was end, if it would end, you know. And then of course your grandchildren, we're pretty involved with our children and our grandchildren. We see them on a regular basis, and to come over and see Emma all the time and not see Papa, you know, and I usually have the treats. So, you know, they were confused. So I think it affected, you know, we talk about our valleys, but I think sometimes our valley, you know, we kind of get into this little old world of me, but there's a lot of people I think that were in this valley with me to some extent.
Mm-hmm. Mm, so good. I want to wrap up our time by encouraging a listener who, you know, they've been tuning in and they've heard about the importance of having a personal relationship with Jesus, and they realize, I don't have that, but after listening to this, I want that. I'm thinking about, in the way that only God can, I'm not a tech savvy gal, nor do I want to be, but somehow he allows this podcast to go around the world and it reaches people in other countries that I most likely will never meet this side of heaven. And so would you, you know, just thinking about that person listening, whether it's here in the States or in another country, the person who realizes, you know what, I don't believe I have a relationship with Jesus. Can you speak to that person today?
To whomever that is, today is your day. It's never too late. And it's so easy, and it will bring you an unexplainable joy for the rest of your life. And all you have to do is repent and ask Jesus to come in your heart. That's it. That's it.
Yeah, I recently heard, you know, we just celebrated Easter, which is your... In the faith, there's nothing better than Easter. Christmas is pretty fun, but we needed the Messiah to come. But Easter is where he bore all of our sins. And so I would echo what Jill said. You know, you have to repent and you have to accept Jesus. But the easiest thing about all that is it's free. It does not cost you a thing. It is free. It's grace. You cannot earn it. You can be a good person and you can treat people well and whatever you want to do, you can be that, but that doesn't get you to heaven. It's just his gift. He died on that cross, and you can't, the only way you can get it is to accept it, to repent, and it's free. And so you can't boast about anything you've done. It's what he's done for us. And, you know, Jill had said, you know, you'll feel peace and you'll feel, it's not going to be easy though. In this world, we will have trouble. The cool part is Jesus has said he's overcome the world. You know, it's not going to be easy, but life's not easy anyways. But boy, knowing him and accepting that free gift and then knowing we're going to live in eternity with him changes your perspective. And I think the other thing it will do is, you know, my concern now is for other people, but also for my immediate family and my extended family. And, you know, I'm fortunate my adult children are saved, but my grandkids, some of them aren't old enough yet to understand. And so we have work to do. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the best thing you'll ever do. It's a free gift. You can't earn it and you won't regret it.
And we're all sinners. And there's nothing that you've done that God won't forgive. Nothing.
Amen. Because we all have that.
Amen.
Love that past.
Amen. Amen. Oh, this has been so good. I feel like we could continue on, but I want to just feeling prompted to just pray with somebody, whoever is maybe wanting to make that decision for Christ. And so whoever you are, we want to pray with you. And so I'm going to, as Tom and Jill were sharing, it's a simple prayer. It's not complicated, but it will change your life. And this is, you know, allowing you to enter into that personal relationship with Jesus, like they've been sharing. And so if you, Tom and Jill are going to, and myself, we're going to pray. And so I'll lead us. And if you, listener, if this is for you, just repeat after me and let's pray and ask Jesus into our hearts. So Father God, I admit that I am a sinner and I have fallen short of your glory. I believe that you sent your son Jesus to die on a cross for me and for my sin. I believe that he rose 3 days later and he is seated on the right-hand side of God the Father. I confess you, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior, and I repent of my sin and ask you to forgive me. I receive your free gift of salvation. Help me now to live my life for you. Help me to find a healthy church community. I receive your love for me. And thank you for now being a part of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if that was you, we together, the three of us, we just want to say welcome to the family of God. You belong here. We're thrilled to now call you a brother or a sister in Christ. And so we do encourage you to find a healthy church community to get plugged into, because God created you to be a part of community, not in isolation. So a Bible-believing church community that is adamant about the truth of the Word of God and doesn't waver in that truth. You can either reach out to me via email. You can find my contact information by simply clicking the link in the show notes. You can reach out to me on the contact page and I can help you in finding a Bible-believing church in your area. Grab a hold of a Bible somewhere. You can probably find one if, I don't know that they really have Bible bookstores anywhere. I guess maybe around me anyway, there's not so many, but you can go online, you can go on Amazon, but you could probably even find one at a local thrift store if you have one in your area. But a Bible is really important. And we would encourage you to begin reading in the Gospels, which is in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And they're really going to help you really understand the person of Jesus. He loves you so much. And your name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we can hardly wait to meet you in heaven. Hey, listening community, thank you so much for joining us. And be sure, if you have not, grab your tickets for the She Rises Women's Conference coming up May 17th and 18th at Lighthouse Christian Church in Rosemont, Minnesota. Again, you can find that information by clicking the link in the show notes. You'll get to meet Tom and Jill in person and hear more of their story. You're going to be so blessed to hear it. All right, take care. Have a great rest of your week, and I'll catch you right back here next time.
Thank you so much for joining me this week. It was great connecting with you. Hey, would you do me a quick favor that would mean the world to me? Would you go ahead and leave a few stars and a review or even a comment? It not only means so much to me, but in the online space and the podcasting world, the more stars, reviews, and comments that a podcast receives, the further the reach. It ranks up a little bit higher in Google searches, which then results in reaching more women with this amazing content. So if you are blessed and enjoying, you know, just the content that you are hearing here on the podcast, would you go ahead and leave a few stars, a review, and some comments? It means the world to me. Thank you so much, and I'll catch you right back here, same place, same time next week.